When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey, it's State of State. We got your Nittany Line update. It's a football discussion with Tom and Justin, so kick back and press play.
With former Penn State and NFL defensive back Justin King, I'm Tom Hanifin. This is State of State. This podcast is presented by BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA and NHL playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds while the games are being played. When the game's over, head to the online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of over 150 slots games. Head to betonline.ag today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Don't forget, use our promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. State of State is presented by BetOnline. The game starts here. Are you looking for a higher potential return on your savings? Turn to our sponsor, Save. As an SEC-registered investment advisor, Save safely combines the best parts of saving and investing with its Market Savings program. Market Savings is a savings product that provides you with market returns instead of interest. The returns come from diversified investment portfolios based on your individual investment profile. The return from the investments is paid to you at the end of the selected investment term. But investing comes with risk, right? Well, with Save, your deposit is FDIC insured and never used for any investments. The current variable APYs are 9.07% for the one-year product and 7.9% for the five-year product. So, what does this cost you? Well, Save only charges a fee when your investments make you money. To learn more or to sign up, visit joinsave.com/state. That's joinsave.com/state. The link to the website is in the description of this podcast. State of State invites you to join Save. State of State is a proud supporter of Blue White Outfitters. Blue White Outfitters was created as a retail shop meant to highlight the confidence, competitiveness, and fearlessness of the elite athletes found throughout the history of Penn State University. Check out their Lockdown U and Lawn Boys merchandise today. All sales from Blue White Outfitters directly benefit Penn State student athletes. Visit www.bluewhiteoutfitters.com today. Hi, everyone, and welcome to State of State. A very happy belated Memorial Day. Hope everyone had themselves a very nice Memorial Day weekend. We are talking about some of the news that surfaced in the middle of last week in regards to some allegations against current Penn State head football coach James Franklin. More information came out the back end of last week and a little bit through the weekend. We wanted to take our time to really see what this was all about, and obviously we are not in the business of diving into legal proceedings and speculating on what may or may not happen on that side of things. If you want to do that, get yourself a good lawyer. But at least looking at this situation, there are a lot of things to extrapolate in terms of what this potentially means for James Franklin, what this potentially means for college football, coaches, players. We're living in an atmosphere where just about anything can happen, and especially the optics of this type of story surrounding the head football coach. So like, comment, subscribe, rate us, turn on notifications. We appreciate it. Check us out on social media, X, Instagram, and TikTok at State of State Pod. Justin, before I get some of your input on this, I do want to be upfront with the audience in terms of what this is stemming from. It was early last week, an article especially quoting off of Sports Illustrated. This is written by Mike McDaniel on May 22nd, and it reads as follows, quote, Penn State head football coach James Franklin is facing allegations from a former team doctor that he meddled in the medical decisions of the program's doctors and trainers, according to a report from John Lucio from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Dr. Pete Seidenberg, who is the team's primary care physician, testified on Tuesday, this is last week,
as part of a wrongful termination lawsuit involving former director of athletic medicine and orthopedic consultant, Dr. Scott Lynch, who was fired from both roles in March of 2019. Seidenberg's testimony stated that Franklin wanted a former player who planned to commit suicide to be medically disqualified from the team after the player was receiving short-term psychiatric care. The medical disqualification would have allowed Franklin to use the scholarship on another player while recruiting. Seidenberg and Lynch refused to grant Franklin's request of medical disqualification for the player. On the witness stand, Seidenberg spoke in detail about meetings held with Franklin and Lynch, where Franklin allegedly discussed treatment advice and options given to the players to deal with their various ailments. Quote, "I perceived this as an attempt to influence medical decisions," quote, Seidenberg testified per Lucio. Additional accounts provided by Seidenberg centered on Franklin's attempts for players to return to the field ahead of schedule. The meetings between Seidenberg, Lynch, and Franklin took place on Friday nights before Saturday games. In one instance, Seidenberg referenced Franklin wanting a key starter to return to action. Quote, "Coach was trying to get us to release the athlete for return to play," Seidenberg said. "We were being pressured to release the athlete. There was a discussion. Coach was trying to influence medical decisions." The player was not cleared by the training staff in this instance. Quote, "He was angry," Seidenberg added. "He was angry with our decision. If the allegations are true, it doesn't look great for Franklin or Penn State, a school that's had its fair share of scandals involving the football program over the years. It is unclear if Franklin will face any discipline regarding the matter." So that is the entirety of the Sports Illustrated article. Again, that was Mike McDaniel on May 22nd. There is a follow-up piece that came out via PennLive.com. A second team doctor with Penn State football testified Tuesday, again, this is from last week, about multiple times that he said Coach James Franklin attempted to interfere with the medical decisions of team doctors and trainers. Update: it was later clarified that under NCAA rules, the medically disqualified player would not have lost his scholarship benefits at Penn State, but he would be forever banned from playing football there. The medical disqualification also would make a new scholarship available for another player. Seidenberg testified he and Dr. Scott Lynch, then Penn State's director of athletic medicine and orthopedic consultant to the football team, declined to follow Franklin's and Sandy Barber's request to medically disqualify the player at that time. Seidenberg said it would have been the equivalent of disqualifying a player with a torn ACL before he received the surgery. This is part of an ongoing trial. We are not in the business, as I said, of diving into this and extrapolating this from a legal standpoint. Obviously, Justin and I, from the outside looking in, do not have all the facts and all the information. But as you can imagine, the optics of this are not great. And as was stated in that initial article by Mike McDaniel, this is a football program and a university that endured the Jerry Sandusky scandal back in 2011. A lot of those things obviously played out in terms of the sanctions against Penn State into 2012, 2013, the years beyond that. And James Franklin inherited a lot of those problems. When you saw this information, obviously used to work for James Franklin in 2017 as part of the recruiting staff. What was your first takeaway from this altogether? Because this is complicated.
Yeah, I think anytime, I mean, yeah, just not to lessen the blow of how severe it is when you think of just the medical care of players, and obviously coaches have a lot of responsibility to make sure that they're safe. And at the same time, we play a very violent game that we all know is 100% injury rate. So a lot of times I think it's interesting when you get into the details of the coach and medical relationship, right? Because it has to be a trusting one. It has to be something where we're all aligned in what's going on. And so, I mean, when you see these things come out, I mean, you like to hear more of the details play out, because we're talking about a highly volatile and competitive environment. So, I mean, whether it's players coming back, coaches being susceptible or liable for the health and safety of a player versus producing on the field, like there's a lot of things that are being judged and things that have context that I don't think can be given within an article. A lot of times we look at coaches, I mean, they get paid the big bucks, but there's a lot of things that are out of control, and you're trying to control as many things as you can to have a product that you're getting paid to produce. And sometimes everyone has different, I guess, different requirements or different things that they have to uphold, whether it's the doctor, whether it's politics behind it, whether it's the trust factor between parents and the coach, staff and the coach. Like, there's just a lot of things that go into that medical piece where, I mean, I've seen shady doctors, like, where it's like, all right, well, I'm not going to do this, that, and the third, not because of the coach, but because of their own protecting themselves and for whatever reason it may be. So, I mean, the dynamic between coaches and medical is very interesting. And when you put it into the frame of college sports, it's even trickier. But I mean, just based on these stories, I didn't think too much of it, as there's just a lot of gray area when you're dealing with injuries and coaches and like how things are perceived when they're going through. So that's kind of where I sit with it.
And again, your experience having played under Joe Paterno years ago, having played in the National Football League, you worked in the XFL, you worked in the NFL, obviously all that you're doing now in terms of consulting with high school football players, working with active college football players, you're familiar with a variety of circumstances, and you're not necessarily pointing to one specific instance. And this is something that I can remember even playing peewee football, where it's you get dinged and you get sent right back in there, something like that. This is unfortunately a part of football that has gone on for far too long. I'm not saying this is exactly what happened in this situation, because we don't know exactly what happened. I think we should be very, very clear about that. And this is something that, as much as football as a whole, whether it be at the collegiate level, high school level, Pop Warner level, the NFL, there has been this movement in the last 15 years to be much better about making the game safer. And I know that's something that you worked on heavily with the XFL in 2020 before the product even went on the field. It's dealing with player safety. And this becomes a very sensitive subject, obviously, when all of a sudden NIL is thrown into the mix, scholarships are thrown into the mix. There's some things that go out with the headlines. James Franklin allegedly meddling with the medical staff. Bad headline. Bad PR. And what I continue to see all over social media, Justin, was the immediate response from fans being, well, fire him. You know,
I guess I get irked that when I even hear that, because it's like the head coach meddling with the medical staff. It's like that is a part, essentially, it's just recent as probably the past 5 to 10 years where the medical staff reported to the university or outside of the football department. So, like, this whole thing of meddling with the medical staff, it's like an oxymoron when you're playing football. Like, this is like the football team. We have to make sure, like, every day the meeting starts with medical. Like, nothing starts with, like, the day doesn't start until you understand, like, the health of every single player. And, like, what is the protocol to get this player back? How far are we along? How well are they doing? Are they attending treatments to do whatever they need to do to get back? And if not, like, that's all even a part of evaluation of the player. So, I mean, for me, there's just certain things, because, like, there is a push at times when you're, like, I experienced it when I played at Penn State. Like, if you're hurt too long, or in NFL, you don't make the club if you're in the tub. So, like, there's a mutual beneficial type of situation when a coach is telling you, like, hey, how are you? Are you ready? And, like, everybody takes it a little different. I know in college is essentially the first time a player recognizes that it's not just fun and games and you're just here to get your education. It's like, oh, you're hurt. You don't provide any more value to us here. So now when we're asking you about how you're doing, we don't necessarily care about how you're doing, what kind of lunch you had, or
emotionally.
Are you healthy? Like, can you provide the value that you're supposed to provide? Like, if not, okay, get healthy. And, like, that's a cold shock for a lot of players. And I know for me, the first time you experience a lot of time is in college. But that thing of, we're just trying to play in a gray area. It's like, okay, we go back to gladiator times and say, like, why didn't they have Band-Aids and do this, that, and the third? Like, it can get real ugly the more we want to peel back what we're watching. So I just get real irritated when people want to say, like, hey, this is like the morality police when you go cheer at a football game. It's stupid to me. But the coaches have to have some checks and balances when dealing with medical. But that's just that's industry standard. Like, yeah.
And there's instances, obviously, where players at any level, I know, having played high school football in the state of Connecticut, where we were not good, going out there hurt, knowing I was hurt, lying to the medical staff because you wanted to play. Those things happen. Now there's that huge difference between high school where you just want to play ball versus when you're in college and the pros, and it's a job. This is work. Can you work, essentially? And especially the way that things are going in college football, they're already there. It's been that way for a long time. It's just out in the open now. But whenever, if a collective bargaining agreement does in fact happen, this is going to be even more black and white, and this is even more of a business discussion altogether. For me, I could care less about X's and O's on the field, wins and losses. It's like, okay, this is how are people doing? How is James Franklin receiving this? His family, et cetera. The players in question, the player who unfortunately was maybe attempting suicide. It's just, it's heartbreaking all around.
I know. And then we like scale out and just say like, hey, Maryland unfortunately lost a player due to medical or just not looking over something, like lost a player, and that coach still coaches in football. So when I just hear everything that we're speaking about of somebody losing their job, let's just keep context of what happens in the industry of the football business. And like, just take yours, like I would just tell the fans, take their glasses off to understand like what the business is. Yes, the coaches are there to protect the players. I don't think any coach is looking to hurt a player or put them in harm's way, put them in the field when they're hurt and they're going to hurt themselves. Like, trust me, that's, I don't think that's anyone's goal. Everyone's focused on winning and understanding where people are. And I don't know what that is, but I've seen the interaction between medical coaches and me being from the player side, working outside of it, and all of them. And none of them are very comfortable situations to sit in. So, I mean, it's just kind of frustrating when you get people that are like civilians that can have an opinion essentially about it when there's just no skin in the game on all parts. And we can just always say like, oh, they're putting the kids in harm. Like, why they play football? Or if someone's like about to commit suicide, like, let's not make light of that situation. But like, all these things, when you're going to court, I'm sure, yeah, you make sure that it's as severe as possible when you're dealing with medical. I'm just saying, football is extremely severe all the way around. So, like, shame on you guys for watching it if you have a problem with anything that's going on. Not to say that it's okay to be negligent, but there's a lot of gray area that we just ignore.
From your experience dealing with players, the medical situation in this, and I'm separating this from allegations in these news stories, but the medical evaluation of players, I think, is about to get more and more complicated. And again, let's not be naive. College football players have been paid under the table for decades. Okay. I don't look at what happened at SMU and Pony Express and the death penalty as an isolated incident. Let's be adults.
I didn't trust medical. Like, I mean, when I was a player, I didn't trust the medical. Like, if I'm saying something's hurting, they're like, hey, coach, like, because they'll come back and they, like, typically a coach isn't telling you to jump on the field. They relay it to the coach, they relay it to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, coaches, this is what, well, we're getting pushed here. And it's just like, all right, like, and they, or they say it's a pain threshold thing. So, like, that's kind of what happens in football, where it's like the doctors have a way of throwing their hands up, like, what's a pain threshold type of situation? So that just kind of goes into the area of like, okay, how tough is that player? Or is it's on him? And then sometimes you're like, yo, the doctor's not protecting me in this situation. Now I'm up to the, like, so there's just a lot of different areas where like no one has clean hands, but like the game isn't clean. So we got to come to grips with that part first, like making sure that everyone is safe as possible. But I think the only way you can do that is having the doctors report to someone else outside of the head coach. And from that standpoint, I mean, if you're reporting to someone else outside the head coach, I don't know how James, if he's not your boss, how's he controlling you or telling you to do anything? If that's the, you know, the thing that was put in place. So, you know, a coach wouldn't go crazy like that.
My question I'm getting to here, Justin, is that if we are on the brink of a collective bargaining agreement, and if we are on the brink of pro style, NFL style contracts for college football players, one of the gray areas is going to be people look at the bowl season. It's like, man, it's like, well, these players should absolutely play in the bowl season. I'm sick of the opt-outs. The games don't matter, those sorts of things. And you have the expanded playoff, et cetera. So even if you were to write into a contract, if healthy, the player will play in postseason games. You and I both know that there's situations where a player can be like, my hamstring's tight. I'm not quite back yet. I'm okay. And then it's like this gray area where now it's on paper and now there's a legal process involved and there's a lot more money at stake. Obviously, there's going to be revenue sharing, a lot more money being thrown on the table, and it's in black and white on paper. How would you handle this if you're an active player now?
I mean, I think it's an interesting time because the mentality of a player transitions pretty swiftly from high school to the pros. When I say from high school, you're kind of working through injuries, tough it up, throw dirt on it, spit on it, do all that good stuff. In college, you start having real injuries and you're like, all right, you're learning your real pain threshold and you're starting to come back. And then when you get into the NFL, there's a dynamic to where you're always going to be hurt of somewhat, but you have to take care of your body. But you have to learn how to play hurt. Because if you don't play, you can lose your job. So like there's a give and take when you get into the NFL, because you also don't want to jump on the field and not feel the greatest, because if you have a terrible game and you're hurt, like, there is no asterisk on your film. So it comes to a point where you get to the NFL where everything that you've been taught, whether it's throwing dirt on it, suck it up, get out of there, play 50% instead of 100%, can make your career end short from the standpoint of getting out there when you're not fully healthy. So again, I don't think we have enough time to discuss like player health and safety, but I do have a episode on Blue Chip Academy with Layla Isaac, who's a doctor, orthopedic doctor, who talks about that relationship and just the trust factor between an athlete and a doctor. Because, hey, if my knee's hurting and you're telling me nothing's structurally wrong and it's just a pain tolerance and I have to break and do all these different things and I'm getting beat for 70-yard touchdowns on TV on Sunday. And the next thing you know, the team gets, hey, you were healthy. You were on there. Like you were out there. You weren't that hurt. So it's just defining what healthy is. I mean, I think that's always the thing within football. And then once you can't really do it, like we have injury reports that players play. So like this is a great area that you got to make sure players, make sure you keep your documentation when you go to training room. Coaches, keep your documentation when you go to training room. All the different stuff. That's why it's getting into this piece, because yeah, there's a lot of mistrust and things that happen within this elite sports ecosystem.
What's the old adage? Are you hurt or are you injured?
Yeah, I mean, always so get up there, that's a little more stressful. It's like you don't make the club if you're in the tub. You know what I mean? Like if your paycheck's on it, like you talk about collective bargaining, that's going to be another situation. We're like, all right, if you're not playing and you're hurt, like you do lose your job for not being durable. Mm-hmm. Like they say that, you know, best ability is availability.
Oh, and especially when you're providing for people beyond just yourself, it becomes very different what you're willing to tolerate.
100%.
Thank you all very much for tuning in here on State of State. Obviously, this is a heavier subject. This is not necessarily about the sport, X's and O's. It is about the sport at the end of the day, but we appreciate you all tuning into this.
Thank you all so much for joining us. This episode and our entire library of shows is available now on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Also, let us know what you think of the show on social media and check out all of our content on X, Instagram, and TikTok. Search for the handle at State of State Pod. State of State is presented by Bet Online and by Blue White Outfitters.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.